I spoke with this patient who recounted for me her experience at first diagnosis.
I saw Dr. Hendrick and he said, "We did all your tests and looks like you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma." And I just said, "Oh, yeah, all cancer. Yeah, that's fine. You know, not a big deal."
Were you surprised?
You know, all the while I thought I had pneumonia. I just figured I need an antibiotic. What's the big deal? Because I'm not a sickly person. I didn't have any health problems. I've exercised. I've watched my diet.
So when the doctor brought up the thing about lymphoma, that was the first time you'd thought about it?
Yeah, never had a clue. Even with my arm being swollen.
Uh-huh.
My thoughts at that point, having it, I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to be so costly. That's all I could think of. I don't know why I wasn't concerned too much about the disease, because my mother had a breast removed and she had colon cancer, so it was almost like it happens to someone else, but not you.
Was she cured of that?
Oh yeah, my mom just turned 89.
But your first concern was cost.
Yes, because I'm divorced and I didn't want to be a burden to my children, so I'm independent. I have a great family, so I knew they would do everything. But I didn't want that inflicted on them. So when they said non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I thought, oh yeah, okay, that's fine. And he said to me, are you okay? I said, oh yeah, it's not a problem, you know.
Were you really okay?
I don't know. I think I was kind of like shocked. And then I was like, oh. I don't think it really ever sunk in. I knew we had to go through some stuff. And yet I didn't want to go through a lot of things if the end was going to be the same as it is for everybody else dying. I mean, I've heard of people, you know, being deathly sick and not having a good quality of life. And I thought to myself, that would be not so much horrific for me, but for my family.
So that was kind of what you were thinking as this all got started.
Yeah.
Once they had all the tests done and were ready to start treatment, can you talk about what happened, what was explained to you?
It was really kind of fast because Dr. Hart said that there was going to be someone to come in to start CHOP and chemo in the hospital.
What exactly did you experience when you got the CHOP chemotherapy, and then what exactly did you experience the next day when you got Rituxan?
I didn't experience anything.
No side effects?
Mm-mm.
From either one?
From either one of those treatments, and I never had any reaction to any other treatments until the day I finished my chemo.
What about your hair?
You know, I got to about the 12th day and I thought, man, I'm lucky. I didn't lose my hair yet. And then I took a shower and washed my hair and then it just came out by the combs full. And I thought, oh, well, they told me this was going to happen to me. They had explained how I should watch my food as far as rare meats, eating out, mixed salads, salad bars. When my white count was down, not to be in a crowd and stuff like that. So I was very cautious of that, no yogurt and the fresh fruit and stuff like that.
Did you use a wig?
You know, it was amazing. The day I came out of the hospital, both my daughters said, okay, Mom, we're going for a wig. And I was like, already a wig. You know, why? I'm not going to lose my hair. I'd probably be fine. And so off to the mall I went and got two wigs. So immediately when my hair fell out, I just called my hairdresser and she shaved my head because it was all over the place. And I went into a wig and away I went.
What was that whole thing like for you with your hair?
You know, I thought when I've heard of other people, it would be like traumatic for me. I thought, I sooner die than lose my hair. And then someone said to me once, oh, you don't really know. You wouldn't want that to happen to you. So when my hair fell out, because everything was explained to me, I just thought, well, it's just one of the things that's going to happen to you. And so when that went, I thought, okay, now we're starting, and I probably might be expecting all these other symptoms people talk about, like vomiting and diarrhea, but it never happened to me. And I thought, even after I had my first chemo treatment in Dr. Hart's office, I thought, okay, when I finish, is tonight the night, you know, I'm going to wake up sick or tomorrow? Anticipation of it. But they gave me my medicine to take, you know, so I wouldn't have vomiting and stuff. And it was fine.
Some people also, the first or second time they get the Rituxan, have a reaction during the infusion. Did you have anything like that?
Never.
Nothing, just like water going in there.
Yeah. It was really a very fine experience for me. Not that you should have cancer, but I guess between all the years, well, like Dr. Hart said, they have improved so much on different things.
Were you surprised by the lack of side effects?
Yes. I kept thinking in my heart, I bet they didn't get it because I don't have all of these symptoms that other people have talked about. I thought, I wonder if that drug is really working on me.
Up to that point, you hadn't been feeling well. You described all these symptoms that you were having, pains and feeling tired. Mm-hmm. What happened to all that?
It left. The pain in my back was because I had so much fluid in my lung and behind my heart. I guess that's why I had the pain in my back. That went...
Went away?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as this was going along, what kind of information were you getting from Dr. Hart in terms of what was going on with the lymphoma?
Actually, it wasn't until after I had my first CAT scan and chest x-ray that I knew that I was doing very well, you know, as far as my condition was.
What were you told?
That it was gone, you know, basically that it was not there. And so I just continued to finish my, I don't remember if I had my last CAT scan after my chemo or during it. It seemed like I had it, I think, 3 months, and then 6 months later.
How long was it that you had the first CAT scan after your treatment? A couple months?
I think it was maybe 3 months after.
At that point, they said the tumor's gone.
Mm-hmm. It was gone.
Were you surprised?
I was thrilled. Yeah. I just figured that everything worked and everything was in order. And
initially, when you found out about this, before you kind of got a lot of information, I guess there was a gap between the time you found out that this is a lymphoma until the time they said, here's the situation, here's the treatment. And maybe it was a few days or a couple weeks.
Immediately.
Okay, so this was happening quickly.
Yes.
So initially, at the very first point when you found out about this, were you expecting that you were going to be cured or that this was going to be really a problem?
I thought it could be a problem, but I thought the way medicine is today and having medicine in my family, that it probably wouldn't be a big deal.
Did Dr. Hart kind of say to you, I think we might be able to cure this?
Mm-hmm. I think even from the first time I was told I had it, they said it was like 50-50. You know, you had a 50-50 chance. You have an open window, I think, of 5 years. I've heard that from other people who had lymphoma.
How did that strike you?
I thought I better live and be happy as long as I can up until any point.
Was that sort of better than what you had generally thought about in terms of cancer treatment?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course, your mom had been cured of breast and colon cancer. Have you had any other treatments other than the chemotherapy and the rituximab?
No, not at all. I've had chest x-rays and a lot of blood work and a CAT scan.
Tumors never come back?
Well, no, not that I know of. I don't have those symptoms.
What happened in terms of your hair? I imagine your hair continued to not grow while you were getting the chemo.
No, it didn't grow, but when it seemed like the chemo was ended, my hair grew fast and it came in curly.
And how long did it take you to see your hair grow back?
Oh, probably by... I finished my last chemo in February, and I remember playing in a golf tournament in October, and I had curly hair and had it trimmed a couple of times. So it didn't seem like a long period of time.
A few months.
Yeah. Well, I have fast growing hair also.
And what about your energy level, you know, in terms of how it was when you started the chemo, how it was when you finished the chemo, and how it is now?
My energy level, I think, was really well. I was off of work about a year. In that time, I had the chemo and everything. When I went back, my energy level was good. It's well now, except, you know, after 4 days of working and putting in 40 hours, I tend to be a little tired.
Yeah, well, that's not too unusual.
But I expect more out of myself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Fridays are kind of tough for most people, I think. What kind of interactions and reactions did you get from your coworkers?
My coworkers were wonderful, and I can't tell you how nice the patients were in the office sending me get-well cards and letters, calling, flowers, gifts, And the doctor I worked for is a really great guy and offered me my job back, same salary and everything. It was really, and I was glad to go back to work. I'm a people person.
What was it like to walk in there after a year?
Like going back home again, really good. Feeling that now I'm well, and, you know, because I know I was really kind of annoyed and tired when I was sick.
So you got the chemo roughly over a period of about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you got the chemo, would you get the Rituxan?
Yes. And it was, you know, like I said, I wasn't sick. I expected to be sick because that's what I heard, and, you know, about people vomiting and diarrhea and not being able to eat. But my family insisted that I eat, so I did.
How did your weight do during the chemo?
I didn't lose anymore. Actually, I did gain. Because I remember looking in the mirror and think, oh, I don't have any wrinkles. I may stay a little heavy.
So you had lost some weight before the treatment?
Yes. Actually, once they tapped my lung, I think when I went to Dr. Cordner, I was up to 132 pounds. And once my lung was tapped and everything, I was down to 118 pounds.
And what was your normal weight?
I could go 126.
So you lost close to 10 pounds by the time you started treatment, and then you actually gained weight on chemotherapy and Rituxan.
Oh, yeah. I was having a good time eating. Mm-hmm.
So you had a good appetite?
Mm-hmm. I had a good appetite. I ate. My family insisted that I eat, and I did.
And what's your weight right now?
Do I have to tell you that?
No, but did you regain the weight that you lost?
Oh, yeah, I regained that in some. I might be up around about 147 pounds.
That's okay.
Honestly, well, maybe not.
Well, you look very healthy.
I feel healthy. I feel good.
I would imagine that it might be interesting for you to tell people that you had 6 months of a pretty intense chemotherapy and looking as healthy as you do.
You know, people come in the office and patients are saying, do you look the best you've ever looked? Do you feel good? I feel great, you know? And they're like, do you really? And I say, yeah. And they go, boy, you had a horrible, miserable time. And I said, not really. And they look at me. I said, I don't know. I think it was the other Marianne who had all that chemo. It wasn't me because I went through it so well. And they're like, you really did? And I go, yeah, I did. I can't sit here and lie and tell you, oh, my God, because it wasn't that way for me.
How has this experience changed your perspective on things, if at all?
I think I don't let as much bother me. I'm glad to be up and running every day, and I want to see and do as much as I possibly can, and, you know, if anybody offers me a trip, I'm going. You know, I just want to be happy and enjoy. You know, I think I'll probably live into my 90s. My mom has longevity in her family, so I want to enjoy and be happy and look forward to seeing my grandchildren and my kids and working.
Do you think that you kind of have returned to the way you were before? You're about as happy as you were, or do you think in some way you're different?
I think I'm different and better.
In what way?
I don't know. I think I just look at life and appreciate it a lot more. It just seems like when you work and time's going on, you're just busy and doing and that kind of thing. And now I'm like happy to see the day coming and spend the day and do whatever comes, you know.
What was going on inside the family as this was all moving forward?
I think my family was really upset and concerned, I think kind of more than I was. I know my son and daughter flew in from Philadelphia immediately to see me, and I think they were more concerned than I was.
Is that kind of your personality in general, that you're kind of easygoing?
I'm easygoing, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm surprised because I've talked to a lot of patients who've gone through experiences like that. And most of them describe, you know, that in the beginning being really disoriented, almost in shock, you know, very upset. As you describe your story, it doesn't sound like that's the way you felt.
I didn't. I don't know why. Like I said, I think sometimes I had an out-of-body experience. I was going to do what I was told, to stay healthy, to get through this. And I was going to do every single thing I had to do.
Would you say that in general, as you know, throughout your whole life, you kind of maybe worried a little bit less about stuff than the average person?
No. Before this, I worried about everything.
Huh.
I worried about not saying the right thing, being in the right place, doing the right thing, not doing enough.
So something changed in you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like a calmness or something. And, you know, I did worry all the time, constantly, about everything.
Would you worry about the lymphoma a lot? once you knew you had it?
No, I think at some point, talking to people long before I ever had that, it was something that I knew that was pretty curable.
Where does spirituality and faith fit in for you?
99% of the time. I'm happy to be alive. I'm on my knees every morning thanking God that I'm here and giving me this opportunity to be around. And I think in my heart, through the grace of God and the doctors, I'm here today and well.
Any advice you might give to a person kind of just starting out the path that you've already been through?
To have faith in your doctors and think very positive, that this is just one little thing. It kind of cannot maybe be forever for you, but it's just at the moment, and take care of the moment and get through it.
What do you do for fun? What are the things that you enjoy the most?
Being with people, golfing, spending a lot of time with my family and grandchildren, just interacting with a lot of people. I like people.
Did you continue that during the chemotherapy?
I did play a little bit of golf, not too much because of being out in the sun, which I did enjoy. I was occupied with a friend of mine helping to do some remodeling on the condo that occupied my time. Being with people when I was healthy, you know, going out to lunch and that, and friends visiting, family visiting, being able to visit my family out of town, being active. I don't know if you could ever say it was a great experience for me. I just don't know how to explain it to anybody else except that it wasn't all that bad, and that's all I can tell you.
Well, I think maybe one of the things that I've seen in people who have stories like yours who had success with treatment is, you know, you've triumphed over one of the great adversities that people have to face.
Yeah.
That's the way it looks to me.
I can't explain to you why I received it the way, you know, and I just thought, well, whatever they tell me, I'm going to have to do if I want to live. You never know how strong you are until you have to. And so I just thought, well, it's another thing you have to go through to get through. And that's basically what I did.